we have the reactions to potential Argentine cattle imports, breeding bull care, cow herd genetics, lots to cover in this one. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. We've got a lot to cover and a short time to get there, so we're going to dive right into this obvious big news last Sunday when President Donald Trump said the United States could purchase Argentinian beef in an attempt to bring down prices for American consumers. This sparked immediate reaction from our cattle associations and organizations. From the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the NCBA, their response: NCBA's family farmers and ranchers have numerous concerns with importing more Argentinian beef to lower prices for consumers. This plan only creates chaos at a critical time of the year for American cattle producers while doing nothing to lower grocery store prices. Additionally, Argentina has a deeply unbalanced trade relationship with the U.S. In the past 5 years, Argentina has sold more than $801 million of beef into the U.S. market. By comparison, the U.S. has just sold over $7 million worth of American beef to Argentina. Argentina also has a history of foot and mouth disease, which, if brought to the United States, could decimate our domestic livestock production. From the United States Cattlemen's Association, the USCA, the current price of beef on grocery store shelves reflects the truth: inflation-adjusted cost of raising cattle in America today. Already this year, the U.S. has imported more than 1.26 million metric tons of beef, primarily from Australia, Canada, Brazil, Mexico, and New Zealand. Increasing imports under current rules ultimately benefits foreign suppliers and multinational packers, while putting U.S. ranchers on the losing end and depriving American consumers of honest transparency at the meat counter. Now, from RCAF USA, their response: global packers are importing beef from about 20 different countries, including Argentina, and because we do not have a mandatory country of origin labeling law for beef, the global packers do not need to reduce the price of imported product compared to domestic product. This negates any theoretical benefit of using more imports to drive down domestic beef prices. We urge the president to manage imports, restore mandatory country of origin labeling for beef, and put an end to the monopolistic control that packers and retailers have over our beef supply chain. Doing so will incentivize America's ranchers to rebuild and expand the U.S. herd to meet our national security needs and ensure that consumer beef prices are determined by competitive market forces. Those responses, again, from NCBA, USCA, and RCAF USA, I encourage you to go and read all of their statements. We do have those links available to those statements in the show notes for this episode at ranchitupshow.com. Now, producers want tariffs to be reduced and trade relationships reestablished with trade partners. Keep politics out of market distribution. You know what? Beck and I are one of them. Now, switching gears to the production side: shipping calves, preg checking, data evaluation, nutrition evaluation. So much going on this time of year. And for many of us, it is a short window before winter hits. We talked fall cow herd nutrition a few episodes back, but there's a group that we tend to forget this time of year. Dr. Kelly Sanders, Director of Research and Development for Westway Feed Products, jumps back in. But what about the boys? You know, we're always talking about that cow, and it seems sometimes we maybe don't give enough attention to the bull side of it because we just pull them from pasture, we put them in another one, and then we don't think about them.
No, that's exactly right. They're kind of the stepchild of the whole operation.
Right.
I think they're a pain in the butt. They tear up everything. So it's just easier to get rid of them and put them over there. So,
right. Out of sight, out of mind.
That's exactly right. Well, but I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they're no different, right? We know that minerals important to spermatogenesis and things of that nature. And so, you know, spermatogenesis starts taking place about 60 days before you have a full term, you know, complete sperm cell. There's enough data out there to support having a good mineral programs necessary for those guys too, to have, you know, a strong libido, having those reproductive functions work correctly, and actually have the formation of sperm cells and things of that nature to be good. That all relates back to fertility and how those bulls can get cows pregnant. So I think definitely we need to think more about those guys. Those guys got to be in some decent shape too. A lot of times those bulls go in, and they can be what I call skin and bones a lot of time for a set
Right.
of bulls. And
Right.
I'm not saying we need to get them big, fat, and juicy, because I mean that limits them as well. And but we have to realize that you put a bull in a set of cows, he doesn't eat a lot, because those guys are chasing cows and their mind's not on eating a lot of times. And so they're kind of behind the eight ball if we put a skinny bull in a set of cows. I'm not saying you're not going to get cows bred or whatever, but you certainly might limit his effectiveness and how quickly he gets cows bred and how he gets to the other cows. Because it's not like a bull just mounts and breeds a cow once. They can mount them, three, four, five times during that time frame. And so if he's chasing a bunch of cows, that again, it takes a lot of energy, and if he's not eating, so getting him in decent shape, kind of what we'd like to say, got his working breeches on. So I think going back to that 5, 5.5 body condition score is a good spot for a bull. I think you get them 5, 6 and over, I think they're just too fat, and they're not going to maneuver as good, get around. They're going to be a little lazy, I think, anyway. So I think we've got to think about those. Again, it costs a lot of feed a bull, and so I think it's another reason, to kind of get him in that 5, 5.5 area, so he's not too fat, and you didn't overfeed him, and he didn't cost you too much money. So there's ways of managing that piece of the puzzle too. So I think that's you bring up a really good point.
Well, and look at what we're paying for these bulls. I mean, bull sale averages that just keep going up, going up, going up. Genetics are getting dialed in. I love it where you can actually get to the point genomically with your cow herd, which I encourage people to do to get to pull DNA on those cows so you actually know what's inside there of what you need, and to pair that with the exact genetic bull to be able to quicker, faster get you to your goals. You know, we're spending a lot of money on those critters, and like we said, the redheaded stepchild of the family, we tend to forget them. And I think that's so important of that bull management, even when we're pulling bulls and where we are putting them, that yes, we still have the mineral available for them that hopefully they had in the pasture with all those cows, that we are keeping them going, that we're putting them in a big enough pasture that if you're pulling a pile of bulls like we are up in this country, where when we start pulling, there's 20, 30 bulls that got to go into just a pasture in and of itself, that it's big enough that you get those boys away from each other, because they will sit and fight and fight and fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. I mean, till like you said, they're just skin and bones. So that bull management, I know we're busy this time of year. There's everything that goes on, but I think that is so darned important, where we think so much about the cows and selling those calves and marketing those calves, but take care of those boys on the backside too, because you know what it's like too, and you don't want to, go and replace these guys every year with another $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 bull if you can help it.
No, you can't afford to do that, to be honest.
Yeah, right.
I think from a management standpoint, we just put, we check cows all the time, right? I mean, you're always driving, you're always checking waters, feeding, looking at cows, and you just need to put the bulls in the same routine, right? It's and just make them part of that circle when you're checking cattle.
Dr. Kelly Sanders, Westway Feed Products. Don't forget about the bulls. When we come back, dollars and cents to capturing genomic data on the cow herd. Crew, y'all are dialed into the Ranch It Up radio show. We'll be back. LivestockMarket.com offers all the tools you need for a successful production sale. The easy-to-use online platform makes it super easy to take bids from anywhere in the world. Buyers can place pre-bids and real-time bids, browse your sales catalog, and watch your sale broadcast live. LivestockMarket.com is also the ideal platform for private treaty sales and timed online-only auctions. There's no easier way to find buyers for cattle, horses, sheep, and hay. Sell on your terms today with LivestockMarket.com.
A 4-year guarantee on breeding bulls? Absolutely. At Birch Creek Angus, we believe if we can't stand 100% behind our bulls, neither should you. That's why we proudly offer a 4-year guarantee on every bull sold. Join the Birch Creek Angus crew Thursday, October 30th at the JBRM Ranch, Ruby Valley, Nevada, selling AV bulls and 200 commercial heifers. Broadcast live on CCI.live. Catalog videos and sale information available at ranchchannel.com and birchcreekangus.com. Birch Creek Angus, home of the 4-year guarantee on breeding bulls.
Looking for the best way to raise beef? Whether on pasture, crop residue, or in a dry lot, choose Westway Feed Products. Westway Feed Products boost forage utilization, efficiency, and sustainability. Find your nearest rep by calling 800-800-7517 or visit westwayfeed.com. Stay connected with the crew from Westway Feed Products on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok. Call 800-800-7517 or go to westwayfeed.com today. Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show, the most information packed into a 30-minute program that you can find. It's your all things ranching newscast, and so glad to be hanging out with y'all. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, rants, it doesn't matter. You can call or text. That phone number is 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com, and prowling around social media at Ranch It Up Show. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we introduced y'all to Larry Gran with Jorgensen Land and Cattle. In case you missed that episode, head to ranchitupshow.com to go back and take that particular interview in, which we recommend. We talked DNA testing the cow herd, becoming more and more popular, and for good reason. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, they charge $39 a head for the test, and I wanted to pick up where we left off with Larry. So, Larry, hey, thanks for coming back on the program. We went through the how and why to DNA test the cow herd, but let's get into this. How well does this work to be able to dial in the genetic makeup of not just the cow herd, but the specific cow?
I'm not going to say it's foolproof, but it's very, very accurate. Because you have to remember, the DNA of the cow and the DNA of the bull can't be altered. You know, when it combines, everybody thinks that it's, you know, 50% of the cow and 50% of the bull. But that is not the case. Research has shown that in some instances, let's just take birth weight, for instance. You got a low birth weight bull. He's got a birth EPD of a zero. And you got a high birth weight cow. She's got a birth EPD of plus 8. So you figure, okay, if I breed this bull to this cow, I'm going to get a birth EPD of 4. On paper, you do. But once we do the DNA test, you will probably find that, no, you're either probably going to get a 5.5 or 6, or maybe even a 6.5 on that next calf, because the cow, I've seen this time and time again, the cow is more dominant on her birth genes than the bull is. And the cow will run right over top of that bull birth EPD and still throw a heavy birth weight calf. Maybe not quite as heavy, but it's still going to be a heavier birth weight calf. So when we look at that in the overall production system of all the traits, when you're selecting for specific traits and you match those bulls up to complement those traits and make them better, I can sit there and look at the information and say, here's where you were last year, here's where you are now. We increased it by 20%. That's in one generation. We've got one producer in western Minnesota, and he just started DNA in his cows, and he's made so much genetic progress now that he is AIing specific cows to specific bulls, because he just can't group breed them anymore to make the genetic progress he needs. So you're literally selecting the building blocks of both the cow and the bull, and you're just stacking them. And you're it. I am very, very confident in the results. I've seen the genetic progress that customers have made. And once they start into it, they can't turn back. They know they've got to test the next set of calves to see where they are and to make sure that they're selecting the right bulls for the right calves.
Is this going to take a little bit of some consultation with you and some others from the JLC crew? Because this is really, I mean, this is a partnership of coming together and working towards one common goal, just like having your veterinarian. They don't want to just come out and fix C-sections at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's 40 below. They want to be more of a consultant. So is that kind of the Jorgensen Land and Cattle program? Is that, you know, look, we really want to come in and act as almost a genetic consultant?
That's exactly right. We do. We call them genetic consultations. Once we get the results, then we sit down with the customer and go over them with them. And you look at the cost per head. Yeah, it's $40 a head, $39 a head. But also realize that cow is going to be in your cow herd for the next 8 to 10 years. So you take even at eight years, you're looking at, or 10 years, you're looking at less than $5 a year to carry that cow. So let's say you keep five heifers that you shouldn't, that have lower weaning weights than five heifers that do. Let's say that they reduce your weaning weights by 20 pounds. So 20 pounds per heifer at what, $3, let's just say $3 a pound right now. 20 pounds times three, that's $60, okay? $60 over the next 8 years, what does that cost you? Then multiply that by the five calves that you have out of these other cows that are costing you money, that you could have had better calves out of different heifers to make you money. So when you look at it from the cost of the test, it's not so much about the upfront cost, but it is that cost. But you look at what you're gaining over the life of that cow and the profitability of that cow over the next 8 to 10 years. And after you get past year, I think it's three and a half, I think it's the second calf that heifer has, she's making you money. The return on it's like 10 to 1 over the life of that cow. So it's a pretty good return on your investment over the life of a cow.
It's almost like calculating a break even in a way, right? And I stress that all the time. If you don't know your break even, you need to figure this thing out, because if you don't know where you need to look forward in the future of where you need to be profitable, if you don't know what that break even is, you have no idea if you are above that benchmark or below that benchmark. So in a way, is it right to say that, as an analogy, that this is almost like figuring out a genetic break even, a benchmark of where you're at, of trying to get above that?
Yep. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's the same philosophy as mapping your field, your cornfield, and doing different soil tests on different parts of your cornfield. You know, this part over here may need more nitrogen, or this part over here may need something else, or not quite so much else. It's the same philosophy. You're getting down to, like you said earlier, what is my return per acre on each acre of ground that I have? Not the field, just each acre. And we're doing that, we're looking at the total profitability of the cow herd, but now we're breaking it down to the profitability of each cow in there. And, I can already hear people say, well, what about the guy that runs 1,000 cows? I mean, he's just got to have numbers. It's like, yeah, you do, but they can be the right numbers too. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you've got one head or 1,000 head or 10,000 head. The DNA testing is going to help you select the heifers you need to move forward with and create more profitability in your cow herd.
Larry Grand with Jorgensen Land and Cattle, thanks for coming back on the show. You can reach out to Larry directly with Jorgensen Land and Cattle with questions specific to their program. And there are many other genetic companies offering genetic services, and I encourage you to contact any of them ask your questions and get your answers. Time for a quick break here on the Ranch It Up Radio Show. When we come back, market reports, upcoming sales, and lots more. So keep it locked.
RanchChannel.com, bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com.
Don't miss the 4th annual Jorgensen Landon Cattle Angus Motherlode Sale Saturday, November 22nd, Ideal, South Dakota. For the first time, selling select bulls plus maternally focused Angus females backed by 10 plus generations of proven genetics. Details at ranchchannel.com and jorgensenfarms.com. The Motherlode Sale, the source for maternal Angus genetics.
We run a lot of high milk producing mama cows in our herd.
Mitch Kenobi of Norfolk dealt with scours in his herd.
So bad that we sent samples off to South Dakota State and Kansas State. Heard about Pharmatan. As a producer, I know it's our job to limit our inputs, but when it comes to Pharmatan, Dad and I don't blink an eye. It is a must for every calving season.
Adding Pharmatan to your livestock's nutrition this fall will rid your new herd of scours in the spring. Go to PharmatanUSA.com. Call Joe Knopp at 340-3323.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up Radio Show. It is that time in the program. We check in with Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated. Let's first recap the markets from last week, and then we'll kind of deep dive into some other topics. So, Kirk, what do you got for numbers for us?
Well, good morning, Tigger, and all your listeners out there. To start off, we did get our calf shipped, and man, what a good feeling.
Good for you. I mean, that takes that's a lot of pressure off, isn't it, that they're down the road?
Oh, it's so much. You don't even realize it until it's gone. Then you're like, oh, man.
I know, right?
So as of Friday, October 17th, November feeders closed the week at 371.70. That's down 490 on the week. Of course, I think all your listeners know of the limit down sell-off on Friday. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the week, it was 490 lower week over week. The CME feeder index was up 859 on the week at 76.51. That left the basis or the difference versus October futures at a positive 451. December live cattle closed the week at 242. That's down 60 cents on the week. Cash traded 240 in the south and 240 to 241 in the north before Friday's sharp sell-off. The five area was not reported due to the government shutdown. The basis against the lowest cash trade is a negative 50 cents. So very normal basis in live cattle. Choice boxes closed the week at 366.77. That's up $1.20 on the week. Weekly slaughter was 567,000 head. That's up 20,000 head versus last week and 40,000 head below the same week last year. Dressed weights and yearly production were not reported. Wrap this up. December corn traded 423. That's 950 higher on the week. Corn remains range bound between 410 and 430, with the big debate over yields continuing between the USDA and the producers, saying that their yields don't match what USDA is saying.
So, Kirk, before I say fare thee well, you know I'm going to ask you this question. In your opinion, could Argentine beef, could it ease beef price inflation? Is what the whole reason for it? In the first darn place, could that even actually happen for the consumer?
Well, I'd recommend your listeners for a detailed explanation to Google Dr. Peel out of Oklahoma State. He mm-hmm. just had a very good article about it. Maybe you saw it, Tigger.
Yes.
Oversimplified, Argentina does not have the production unless they take it away from domestic consumption to ship a bunch of meat. That's going to quantitatively make a difference here. That's face value, right? Normal market. At this market, as we're sitting at 370, 380 feeders, looking for anything to tip us over the barrel, you know, all it takes is the wind to change. And the question is, did that change the wind?
Are you thinking about switching herd record keeping platforms? Here's what you should consider first. Hey, hey, I'm Shay Wanner, and I host the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. In one of my recent episodes, I go over the six key points ranchers should consider before they switch herd record programs. These key points include knowing which problem or problems it is supposed to solve or will solve. Is the program going to be applicable for the operation in 5 or more years? Do you access the program over the internet, through a desktop app, or on a phone app? Or is it going to be a combination of the three? What is the ROI of investing in this program, and how are you going to measure that year over year? Can everyone who needs to use it and use it easily? And finally, how many people can access the information on the best plan for you? This is a practical conversation that plays into the profitability of all ranches. You won't want to miss it. So once you are done listening to the Ranch It Up radio show, head over to the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast on your favorite podcast player. Happy ranching, folks.
Before we say fare thee well, the upcoming Ranch Channel sales calendar, Thursday, October 30th, Birch Creek, Angus, Ruby Valley, Nevada, home of the four-year guarantee on all their walking bulls. Friday, October 31st, the online bidding starts for Wassum Red Angus, their elite heifer sale. Saturday, November 9th, join us in Columbia, Alabama for the third annual JYJ Red Angus Bull and Heifer Sale. All sale details are listed on ranchchannel.com. And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Dr. Kelly Sanders with Westway Feed Products, Larry Grand with Jorgensen Land and Cattle, Kirk Nonsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, Shea Warner with Casual Cattle Conversations. A big thank you goes out to our partners, Birch Creek Angus, home of the four-year guarantee on walking bulls, Imogene Ingredients, bringing us Pharmatan, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, home of the Motherload Sale, LivestockMarket.com, EquineMarket.com, AuctionTime.com, Medora Boot and Western Wear, Moose Creek Red Angus, their dispersion is coming up December 22nd and 23rd, RanchChannel.com, RFD-TV, the Tri-State Livestock News, Top Dollar Angus, Transova Genetics, Westway Feed Products, Wrangler, Wolf Cattle, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email is ranchitupshow@gmail.com. Call and text 24/7. That phone number is 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week where it's always Tigger and Beck approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.